Welcome to Pints and Politics. I'm your host, Dan Parsons. Welcome to episode number 41. Can you believe it? We've done this for 41 stinking episodes.
That's a long time.
It can be.
Have I been alive that long?
You could have been, but I'm thinking...
Wowee.
Yeah, it's 41. So as our regular listeners and viewers know, Pints and Politics is all about discussing important issues of the day while enjoying a Nebraska craft beer.
Love it.
And so let me introduce our guest, Brent Comstock, CEO of an organization that you know well, BCOM Solutions. And BCOM Solutions is a digital communications agency built for rural campaigns and organizations. And your work ranges from presidential campaigns to grassroots digital organizing.
Right down the street.
And you're just down the street.
Just down the street.
Thanks for coming back.
Good to see you.
As you may recall, if you want to go back in the archives, Brent appeared in episode number 24 exactly 2 years ago this month.
Different topic.
Totally different topic.
Different beer.
Different beer, different guests, but I was still here.
And you still are here.
Well, here's what we're going to do. Thanks for coming down the street and joining us. We're going to talk about a really exciting project that you've started just recently here in Nebraska. Yeah. And it's an you are partnering with AmeriCorps to recruit, train, and place recent college graduates in rural Nebraska.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, let's drink.
Of course.
And so...
local economic development.
Yes. And I walked down the street to our friends at Kincaidr. I didn't go to Broken Bow because thankfully they just have a shop just down the street.
Franchise.
A franchise down the street here. And so we are drinking appropriately Oktoberfest.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And this Oktoberfest, it's a fresh pale lager with a strong malt backbone and a clean finish. Hmm. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes.
That's nice.
It is. You know, they do a really nice job. And our friends at Kincaidr. So thanks to our friends at Kincaidr. And we'll enjoy that. We'll put in the notes, like we always do, a little bit about the beer. And so our listeners and viewers can go enjoy that. But Brent, I want to talk about this exciting program that you've launched. And you are an entrepreneur. You grew up in Southwest Nebraska, Southeast Nebraska. And you've done some amazing things. In addition to your company, BCOM Solutions, you started Rural Impact Hub.
Yep.
And now you've partnered with AmeriCorps to do this exciting project in Nebraska. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Lead for Nebraska, the new program that we've created, is a partnership between, every day I think we add another organization to the list, but Lead for America, which is a national organization, very similar to Teach for America, Venture for America, and then it's a service ship organization that was actually started by a college classmate of mine.
Oh, really?
In Chapel Hill, and is an organization that's focused on bringing young people back to their hometowns or to a new hometown for them, but ultimately finding placements across the country in rural communities largely, but across the country to really retain and recruit young people back to communities. Oftentimes people see young people go from a small town to a big city, they leave, they never come back, they don't even think that there's a purpose for them there. And so our social impact center in Auburn, the Rural Impact Hub, is working with AmeriCorps, which is Serve Nebraska here in Nebraska, their commission, and then Lead for America to put together the Lead for Nebraska program.
And they're doing real work. This isn't just an internship.
Right.
You come in for a few weeks and then you leave.
Right. Yep.
This is real work in important work in rural Nebraska.
Yeah. So they're placed, the fellows, they're not interns, they're fellows, they're college graduates of a four-year institution. And, you know, I think a lot of times people think when they say returning back to rural communities, they almost say it with a derogatory tone, or you're coming back to your hometown. The way that we see it at Lead for Nebraska is this is an opportunity for young people that have this college degree to serve these communities because they're highly talented, they're very gifted young people who can work on everything from local economic development to broadband expansion. And you'll get a chance to connect with these fellows in a little bit. I mean, they're really talented, and we're just getting started.
And we're going to meet a couple of the fellows here in a few minutes. But so how many are placed currently, and what is your goal for how many do you want to place in Nebraska?
Yeah, so presently we have five fellows, majority of them working on broadband and economic development. We have a fellow who's also working on public health. But right now we're trying to fill between now and a couple weeks from now, and then also going into next year. I mean, ideally we would see over 15 young people within the next year. I think 18 is the specific number, but 15 plus that are going to communities across the state, going back to their hometowns, serving in 2 year fellowship positions or a year and a year. But ultimately this is not a summer internship, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of great programs. And the gap that we saw in this program was you have summer interns that come for a few weeks, come for a few months, they get, you know, they know what they're doing.
Just get going.
Right. Yep. They know what the code to the copy machine is, and they know who to talk to and what their names are, and then they go back to school.
Yeah.
So these fellows are young adults. I mean, I qualify to be a fellow. So they're young people that go into these rural communities that are working for years, 2 years, and they're directly embedded with city administration, economic development, local providers. I mean, they're thrown in.
How is the program funded, and what do you see as the benefits to some of these rural communities that don't have that kind of talent maybe coming back all the time?
Yeah, so the funding model is, there's a variety of people that are involved. Obviously, AmeriCorps and Serve Nebraska plays a key role in that funding component. Lead for America, which is the national organization, plays another role in that. And then we also look to the host, to the communities, to provide dollars into this program. So it's not like X person in X rural community can say, oh, yeah, it'd be nice to try this out and then sign up, and then we send someone for 2 years. Everyone is vetted. The people that are fellows are vetted and go through a rigorous interview process. The host communities go through a rigorous process. And then they ultimately have to play a role in funding that. That comes from local economic development dollars, businesses that want this talent, this added capacity to come into their community.
We'll talk to a couple of the fellows here in a minute, but maybe give some examples of some of the programs across the state that some of the community. I'm interested in who chooses the projects that the fellows will work on. Is it a collaborative effort? How does that work?
Yeah, well, everyone is involved in that process, which makes our team, led by Rebecca Johnson, that process very extensive, because if we have four or five fellows, there are four or five individual plans. And if we have 18 fellows, there are 18 different plans, and there's no one that fits the same mold. And so, and the fellows are working on a variety of things that could include digital inclusion, broadband expansion and access and equity, could include economic development. It could include housing and early childhood development, public health. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on and on. And you'd think about it from the perspective of what would an economic development officer, a community development office really care about to make these communities thrive, to make them exciting places for other young people to live.
Here's what I think is exciting about this, because you really are living what your purpose has been for many, many years. I mean, you have, at a very young age, decided that rural Nebraska was important to your future and your track professionally, but you also recognized how important the revitalization of rural Nebraska is to our economy and our well-being.
Went to school in the East Coast, same school as the founder of Lead for America, which is an interesting, he grew up in Kansas, I grew up in Nebraska, we both left, and then we both came back. But in coming back a couple of years ago to Nebraska, one of the things that just kind of always struck me as odd was that, you know, in many ways, it was still the same conversation that we were having 4 or 5 years ago around how do you get young people back into these communities? How do you get young people to be excited about living in a small town and not see it as, oh, I married someone from there, so now I have to stay there. Or, oh, you know, this is all that's available to me, but to see it as maybe this is a
place. As a choice. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, BCom does that from a company end, because a lot of the organizations we work with are in these rural communities. But you know, a for-profit engine can do a lot of good. But at the same time, there was still this gap around how do you get these young people to be excited about the coming back? And these fellowships are a great way. And I think that the end result doesn't mean that every fellow comes back and lives in that community for forever. But what it does is it gives the communities and it gives the fellows an opportunity to really understand what it's like to retain, to recruit and then retain that talent. And hopefully that has a cascading effect for that community and for nearby communities. Because some of these fellowships, the town next door might have said no to us in the beginning, but then they hear that X community got a fellow and they're like, oh, wait a minute, I want to know about this. And in the broadband space, that's happening really well because one broadband provider sees that the communities that they serve has a fellow working from the end of the economic development side. And then they're like, oh, well, now I would, you know, I want that for my community. And so it's working. It's slower than maybe we want sometimes, but it's working.
I find it's this topic, the reason I wanted you guys to come on today was I just find it fascinating that it seems like a lot of synergy is happening right now in Nebraska, and a lot of discussion is happening right now about rural. How do we revitalize rural Nebraska? Everything from, you know, talking about the redistricting in the legislature and how we're continuing to lose population in rural Nebraska, to the president's initiative to help fund broadband and other economic development functions within rural America to make our lives better.
Yeah. Well, and from the broadband perspective, like growing up in Southeast Nebraska, this is a personal story too, because I mean, I started BCom when I was still residing with my roommates, also known as my parents. You know, we didn't have a local broadband provider at the time.
And remind our listeners and viewers where you grew up.
Right. I grew up in Auburn, in Southeast Nebraska. There is now a provider that is a Nebraska-based company, but, you know, we had what was available in the mass market. And as anyone growing up in a rural community knows, like if a global company is prioritizing their customers, the people in Auburn, Nebraska are not at the top of the support ticket chain when it comes to getting your internet fixed.
Yep.
And damn it, I wanted Netflix. And I also wanted to be able to fix Lucille's computer down the street because I was charging her $50 an hour and needed that income to come in.
Absolutely.
But you know, the thing that's interesting about broadband and broadband expansion and that story is like, now there's this local provider, but the broadband provider in the community is much more than putting in a router in the back of your house. If they're a local provider, they're connecting businesses to the outside world. They're connecting banks so that people can get their money. They're connecting people that might have a mental health illness, connect to someone, maybe if they're in a rural community and there's not a mental health provider, they're able to connect via telehealth. And so like, that's why I think it gets bipartisan support.
Yep.
On the face, you know, you can dig into what that looks like, more policy driven. But also, I mean, no one person would like to live in a world where they can't access the internet. And 2020 didn't show us anything. That was it. And there are some parts of the country that still don't have access to 911. And so it's like, you know, we take all of these things for granted. And I think that's where broadband really does have the power to connect people. And I probably wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't have access to the internet in rural community, because I would have done something entirely different with my life.
What would that have been?
Well, I don't know.
Physician, lawyer,
right.
Politician.
Right. Yeah. The one career that I ruled out, my dad is a plumber and an HVAC guy in town. And that was my first job. And I learned early on that I did not want to go into the family business. Love him dearly. But that was the one that I ruled out. But yeah, I checked off a lot of boxes.
Well, Nebraska's better off because you chose the path that you do. And I just think it's so exciting that you're helping to continue to contribute to not only a quality of life, but as you said, it's not only a quality of life, but it's also maybe life-saving, as you said, from a medical profession, a medical perspective, and just daily needs that we have in rural Nebraska.
Well, in recruiting companies to come, I mean, we're not a large company, so we're definitely not, you know, I don't think anyone's sitting in their government offices thinking, where can BCom be positioned so that that benefits the state? But, like, you know, you think about it last year, if I worked for American Express or if I worked for any company and I was released into the remote world, they didn't care where I was. And that's a great opportunity for these rural communities to take advantage of it. Lower cost of living. If you have access in many of these rural communities, I will give props on the cameras to the rural broadband providers across the country. I mean, most rural communities that have a local provider, they have equal, if not faster, internet than in some cities. And so these providers are doing so much to connect to the community, which is why when we talk about economic development and community health and public health and rural development, broadband's always woven into that conversation because it allows them to not exist just in that quadrant of their community, but to really see it from a global perspective.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Brent, thanks again. Before we let you go, and we'll meet a couple of the fellows, how can people get involved if someone wants to apply for the remaining fellowships, if they want to learn more? How can we learn more?
Yeah, great question. So visit our website, ruralimpacthub.com, and that has all of the information. There's a Lead for Nebraska tab. There's an opportunity to host a fellow. So if you're interested in that, there's a host application. So if you're a community or if you're a business that has influence in the community, you're like, I want to rally the troops, so to speak, for the community, that's an option. And then we're accepting fellow applications as well. So that's on the website. Fellows are people that have four-year college degrees, rough age outline of 21 through 30, but can be anyone that meets those qualifications and most importantly has a connection to Nebraska and cares about the community. And I think that's the important part, is bringing people back to their communities and to their hometowns or their new hometown.
That's great. Well, you just are down, you live and work just down the block, but I got to buy you beer to come see us.
Well, I wanted the media opportunity to see you. Yeah, you know, I got to check that off the box.
Well, listen, cheers,
good
my friend.
See you.
Thanks
yes,
for
yes,
thanks
likewise.
For being here.
Take care.
And we'll be right back with the fellows. Welcome back. I'm your host, Dan Parsons, and welcome to both of our fellows with Lead Nebraska. And gentlemen, welcome. Let me introduce Ken Edwards. Ken is from the village of Table Rock. Ken is a proud rural Nebraska native and brings his passion experience to the Auburn Development Council with Lead for Nebraska. And Ken attended the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, where he earned a degree in political science and is currently seeking his master's degree in rural development through the Great Plains IDEA program at UNL. Ken, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Likewise, good to see you as well. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and we actually found out that we've met through the years, and you know my son, and it's a small world.
It is
in
a
Nebraska.
Small world. Also, thanks to Kevin Chin.
Yeah, and our friend Kevin Chin, who's appeared several times on Pints in Politics.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Well, welcome, Ken. I'm glad you're here. And we're going to talk about the project you're working on, and it's a delight to have you. Oliver Borchers Williams. Did I do that right?
Absolutely.
Oliver Borchers Williams.
Yep.
Very good, Oliver. Thanks for being here. Oliver, you're from Nebraska City, serving with the Southeast Nebraska Development District. You're also a recent political science and international studies graduate, but not from UNL, but from the Miami University in Ohio. And you're serving with the Southwest Nebraska Development District, along with other fellows, are addressing the needs of a 16-county service area.
It's actually the Southeast District, but...
What did I say?
Southwest.
Oh, my goodness.
Other side of the state.
Anybody
16
that knows,
counties, too.
Anyone that knows me very well, Oliver, knows that I'm directionally challenged. And so that's just natural for me. Southeast, Southwest. But anyway, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing with your project.
So we're serving in Auburn at the Rural Impact Hub there. I still live in Tamarack, still work around the community there and whatnot, but wanted to dive further into the rural development side of things and became aware of LEAD for Nebraska, and it just seemed like the perfect opportunity. So we just finished up our first month. A lot of it's been meeting local officials, different boards, commissioners, you know, the hospital, like all kinds of groups of people, just trying to make them aware of our presence and that, you know, we're here to help. So any way that we can, you know, build those relationships will be a good thing.
And you have a little bit of an advantage being from the area.
Yeah.
Oliver, wow. you come from Ohio to Nebraska. What's it been like?
Well, I've actually lived in Nebraska City for the last 6 years.
Oh, well, it's home then.
Yeah, I graduated high school from there.
Okay.
Left college for a couple years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good to be back now. I have deep family connections to the area, though. My folks are from Nebraska. My grandparents are from Nebraska. You know, it goes back generations. So it really feels like home, and it's good to be serving here.
As Brent and I talked about, the goal for many, many years, and the talk has been for many years, how can we attract and keep young people in Nebraska? Not only keep those young people in Nebraska, but also bring back young people, young professionals to Nebraska. So you both are doing that. And so what are some of the, what was the main impetus for you to come back to Nebraska, or in your case, Ken, stay in Nebraska to work on these projects?
I mean, so the big thing for me was like I had been living in Lincoln after college for a while, and like it didn't really feel like I was getting a lot of traction. And so I was like, well, you know, I could be doing the same thing back home, right? And so I moved back home. We helped reopen a bar down there. And then as I just kept getting more and more involved, there was just a lot of stuff that needed to be done, but nobody to do it. And so, you know, I just kind of dove in head first. And you know, the big thing, you know, what this is showing, it shows that you can go back to your hometown. You can make a difference. You can enact change. And, you know, as we get more broadband in rural areas, hopefully that encourages more people to move back and maybe pay a little bit less rent, you know?
Oliver, what have you discovered so far? And remind me, how long have you both been in your position now?
A month.
We started on August 9th, but our official term of service started on September 1st.
Okay, so fairly new. You are making yourselves familiar with the project and the community. And as you said, Ken, you're meeting with public officials, people in nonprofits, for-profit. Tell me, Oliver, what are some of the challenges in just explaining the project to people that you meet with?
I mean, there is kind of a hump to get over when it comes to explaining, you know, we're recent college graduates and we're coming back here to work on broadband. And it's not necessarily the first thing that people would expect. So I'm just kind of conveying that and explaining that, you know, we're coming back home to make a positive impact in the communities that are near and dear to our hearts. So, you know, it's a little bit of a obstacle to explain why we're here. And then we have to explain what we're doing, which is a whole nother conversation.
Well, there's so much opportunity. The whole idea, give us some examples, Ken, of maybe the need for broadband in Auburn, Nebraska. I mean, we hear this all the time of the need for broadband. We mentioned with Brent, you know, the discussion about Nebraska rural communities continuing to lose population. Mm-hmm. With COVID the past 2 years, we've all been forced to be in front of a screen and, mm-hmm. and not only do school, but do work and social activities. It seems to be a bit of a no-brainer for folks to understand the need for just a way of life to expand broadband. But what are some of the challenges that you're seeing?
Oh, man. I mean, so as it stands right now, I mean, I guess I had to laugh a little bit because in our office, we have an internet service provider that's there and our internet isn't that great, you know, but none of the buildings downtown are wired with fiber yet. And like, so we're working on getting those buildings wired. And then hopefully, like, you know, that's more attractive for startups to go in there and build a business, you know, as it relates to families and students and whatnot. I mean, if we have to go into a lockdown for whatever reason again, I mean, they need to be able to earn a living. They need to be able to learn to reduce that homework gap. We need to find ways to provide devices for people that may not have them that are in those situations. Service reliability. So one of the big things is that if the internet goes down at Tecumseh, which is where our main line goes down, all of Southeast Nebraska loses internet. So we're trying to create what's called redundancy by running line up 75 to connect into the other fiber network. So, I mean, it's just a lot of things. We're super behind on this and we're playing catch up right now, to be honest.
Oliver, in addition to just the mechanics of broadband, there's really a way of life, and not only economically, but health-wise. What are some of the challenges that you're experiencing in Auburn of explaining to folks how a simple broadband expansion can improve their lives?
Well, I've kind of been taking a bit of a different tack in my service than Ken has been. Because I am working through the Southeast Development District, we work a lot with counties. And right now, at least, there's a pretty large pot of federal money out there for broadband expansion. And it has been a bit of a challenge to present that as a massive return on investment for these counties to use some of their federal money to support this broadband infrastructure. There's so many different ways to quantify it, whether property tax increases, just the quality of life for residents, resident attraction. And, you know, sometimes it sticks, sometimes it's a little bit more work to get that message across. But, you know, it's a challenge, but it's definitely a worthwhile one.
Ken, if you were to tell other young people who are considering maybe coming back to Nebraska or maybe considering staying in Nebraska, mm-hmm. And maybe considering applying for one of these fellowships, what would you say to that young person that's thinking about either staying or coming back to Nebraska?
I'd say right now, outside of, you know, not like maybe getting elected to an office, this is the best way to make change in a community. Because you're out there doing the work every day. For somebody else to come in and do this, just even on their own free time, it'd be impossible. So the fact that we get, you know, paid to serve, yeah. I mean, it's awesome. And the fact that we still get to stay, you know, in our area. But I would recommend anybody that's even thinking about from coming from out of town, or if they want to go back to their hometown, do it. I mean, it's 2 years. You can learn so much. You can get more tools for your toolbox to help your hometown or other towns. You know, I mean, it's just an awesome program. Again, it's the best way that you can enact change in a community.
Oliver, what's your track after this 2-year fellowship? Do you know what you want to do 2 years from now, 5 years from now? And how will this fellowship help make those decisions and give you the ability of a real life working experience to maybe further your career?
Yeah, that's a question I find myself asking myself pretty often. You know, I kind of landed in this fellowship because COVID really shook up my post-grad plans.
Okay.
Coming out of undergraduate. But, you know, it aligned with some stuff that I was interested in. It aligned with a lot of stuff that I studied in undergraduate. So, you know, it's good to get some practical application of that and make a pretty massive difference on communities that are important to me in the process. Afterwards, it's an open question. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of this is the people you will meet, the issues you will tackle, it's going to look great on your resume. Ken, same question.
I want to take everything I learned, go back to Table Rock and Pawnee County and put it in action. Because like I said, we have a lot of great people in Pawnee County that are doing these things, but oftentimes you see it's the same people doing it over and over. So I want to find a way to get more people involved, but also, you know, take the knowledge that I've learned here and help as much as I can.
That's great. Guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for deciding to come back to Nebraska, to stay in Nebraska, mm-hmm. and make a difference in your hometown. And, you know, this has the opportunity to not only help Auburn, Nebraska, and Nebraska City and Southeast Nebraska and Southwest Nebraska, but throughout the state.
We could use fellows down there.
To have the ability to make a real impact. And congratulations. I mean, this is real work for folks as young as you are to be able to come back to Nebraska or stay in Nebraska and make a difference. So thanks for serving. You bet. As we wrap up, I just want to thank our hosts, Nebraska Horsemen, the Nebraska Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association. Thank you for being our sponsor. Warhorse Gaming, production, editing, and distribution by our friends at BCOM Solutions. Kim Remington, Operations Manager at Parsons Public Relations. If you're hearing some music, the theme music is written and performed by Lincoln's very own Jack Rodenberg. Thanks to Fuse Co-working and, of course, Parsons Public Relations for hosting. And our guests, Brent Comstock, Ken Edwards, Oliver Borchus Williams. Catch the latest Pints in Politics on wherever you find your podcast audio. And you can also watch us on YouTube. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.